listening to the only daily talk show in North America covering the world of football. This is World Football Daily.
Yes! It hits the back of the net! Oh my goodness me!
The world's game.
Oh, you're beautiful! What a headshot! What a head!
Our religion.
Brilliant goal! What an equalizer!
Our passion.
Go, go, USA! Oh, it's incredible! You could not write a script like this!
World Football Daily serves up the best football talk 5 days a week.
Oh! You will never, ever see a game quite like this! Unbelievable!
Inter Milan stand up and are waiting to be counted by Serie A pundits as a title contender as they sweep past Fiorentina last night in the San Siro against Vincenzo Montella's side. The master meets the apprentice, but no, this isn't another Star Wars joke here on World Football Daily as Jose Mourinho and Andre Villas-Boas get set to go head-to-head as Tottenham meet Chelsea in the Premier League tomorrow. A no foul cow, but Madrid still relying on dodgy refereeing decisions. It's the Madrid derby. Atletico meet Real in the Bernabeu as Gareth Bale gets set to make his home debut for Los Blancos. Welcome to Friday's edition of World Football Daily. I'm a very, very tired Oliver the Deuce Wilson. Joining me today, as always, later on will be Rafa Gonzalez here on an action-packed show on World Football Daily. We will, of course, be getting into a little of IKTS and a little bit of Premier League fantasy football later on. I'm going to give you my predictions for the weekend. Raf, as well, see if you can beat us and let us know your scores that you're going to be putting in for IKTS this week. Show at worldfootballdaily.com is where you can chat to us, and at WFootballDaily on Twitter as well. There are big games all over Europe this weekend and big games in Major League Soccer as well, but it doesn't get much bigger at the moment this weekend than the Madrid derby, should I say. Atletico take on Real Madrid. All the talk still is about Madrid's midweek win against Elche, the controversial penalty given for Pepe as he grabbed the arm of his marker and dragged himself to the ground and was awarded a penalty for it in controversial circumstances at the end of that game against the newly promoted side Los Blancos in their all-blue kit, really riding a wave of luck in that one after Elche equalised with just a few minutes remaining. Real Madrid going up the other end, winning the penalty, and of course Cristiano Ronaldo slotting the ball away from 11 yards. We were talking a little bit about that with Andy Brassel yesterday on the show. Madrid cheats or just extremely lucky? Of course, I think the word cheat is something that's been thrown around towards Pepe, especially after his actions in winning that controversial penalty. And a number of people, including Gerard Piqué, have been saying that there is a conspiracy about that surrounds Real Madrid to keep them up near the top of the La Liga table. You just wonder how true that might be. There's always conspiracy theories flying around. We're used to hearing Jose Mourinho talking about the conspiracy towards Barca and their results in Champions League football and the draws that they get. This time, though, Madrid at the heart of it in Spain. They take on an Atletico side that no longer has Falcao, of course, making his big move this season off to Monaco. They're in action this weekend and they had a very nice 3-0 win in midweek. Instead, to replace him, though, come in one of the most extremely first-class players in La Liga, David Villa, just a man who has pretty much done it all in Spanish football. His time in Valencia was fantastic. That was a great Valencia side as well. When you think about it, Joaquim, David Silva, David Villa, what a front three that was. He's already played in 12 derbies in Spain, 4 in Valencia, 4 in Barca as well. And of course, he had 4 at Asturias as well. This, his first Madrid derby. And if you thought he was up for the game against Barca, apparently David Villa is keyed up and ready for this one. You have to think there are always going to be goals when David Villa is around on a football pitch. He's just somebody that knows how to read a game so well. May not be about the fast legs, but he's still got that strike and that accuracy with his efforts from range. And of course, he can read the game so well to manipulate the space, getting close and find the easy finishes too. And he has a great supporting cast around him. Diego Costa, who plays so well in that Copa del Rey final, which World Football Daily was reporting from last year, if you remember, when Atletico toppled Real Madrid for the first time in 13 years, I believe it was, to win the Copa del Rey in the Bernabeu. Diego Costa had an absolutely incredible game that night. Apparently, according to Spanish press, it is about him against Cristiano Ronaldo, who is going to thrive the most this weekend in the big La Liga derby. What do you think? Do you think Atletico can pull it off again? They've had a flying start to their La Liga season. Madrid haven't been as devastatingly dominant as we've expected. Atletico, on the other hand, 6 wins from 6. They are on pace with Barca at this point. And it's not been an easy ride for them. They've had to play Sevilla so far. They've had to play Sociedad so far. They've met a couple of difficult sides. This will be their first real big test, though, of the season against one of the top three in Spain. Do you think they can pull off the Copa del Rey upset once again? Let us know. Show at worldfootballdaily.com, at WFootballDaily on Twitter, 310-909-8483, and the Facebook page as well. Gareth Bale, with all this talk of the Madrid derby and Villa and the controversy in midweek, Gareth Bale's home debut for Real Madrid has kind of gone under the radar slightly. What are we expecting to see from the man who was just pulled up a little injury, meant he missed the game in midweek and hasn't yet walked down to the Bernabeu turf as a starter for Los Blancos? Do you think that Bale will thrive in the surroundings, in his new home? Do you think it's going to be Gareth Bale and Cristiano Ronaldo putting on a show against Atletico Madrid? It's difficult to think of how teams are going to be able to stop them, although we were talking with that about how to stop Real Madrid yesterday on the show with Andy Brassel when he joined us. Do you think Madrid are a stoppable side? Going forward, they do look fantastic, but If you can catch them on the counter and play very direct, as we saw with that Elche goal in midweek, and do enough to just soak up the pressure and stay focused enough during the game, there is a possibility of grabbing something against this Los Blancos attack. Then, of course, in Spain, you also have to stop Barcelona. If there's one side that will be able to do it, though, Diego Simeone runs a very, very tight ship indeed. He keeps things very organised, very structured. We saw that in their win in extra time against Real Madrid in the Copa del Rey final last year. I honestly do think there is a very positive atmosphere around the Atletico camp at the moment. This, if Simeone's been talking about, they can possibly do it. They can possibly stay with the big two for the whole season. They can possibly challenge for a title. If they're going to, this weekend's result is going to be very big in working that out, if they are able to handle themselves with the top two in La Liga, because they don't slip up very often, that's for sure. And even when they look like they're going to, both sides, Barca and Madrid, always seem to find a way to grab those 3 points, as we saw once again in midweek. Let us know your thoughts leading up to the big game this weekend. Remember, at WFootballDaily on Twitter, as I say. Barca this week, no, they've got a reasonably comfortable game against Almeria. And Almeria, who have struggled, just 3 points from their opening 6 games in La Liga, and joint bottom along with Elche, Osasuna, Real Vallecano at the bottom of La Liga. There's plenty of talk about Jose Mourinho and Andre Villas-Boas in the English press today. I want to talk a little bit, just a tad. I know I've tried to avoid it for the last few days and whatnot. And Serie A football has been a little depressing if you're an AC Milan fan, that's for sure. We had a cracking week of midweek action, though. Parma getting a phenomenal 4-3 win against Atalanta after going down to 10 men. Roma, a 2-0 win over Sampdoria in midweek. They continue their perfect start to the season. The only team to be perfect, not even Juventus so far, perfect in Serie A. But Inter last night, making a very big statement indeed in terms of their intentions for the season at home against Fiorentina, and a game which many at the end of last season would have predicted Fiorentina to have gone and absolutely annihilated this Inter Milan side. Under Walter Mazzarri, though, it's been an inspired appointment by Moratti at Inter, bringing in the Napoli coach and letting him just go to work, really. Letting him kind of sit. Maybe Stramaccioni was just that little bit too young, too inexperienced to handle a club like Inter at this sort of level. Mazzarri, on the other hand, though, has brought in the positive steps that he implemented at Napoli and kind of put them into this Inter side as well. And Inter looking very good at this season. They were 1-0 down as well after Giuseppe Rossi tucked home a penalty on the hour mark. But Esteban Cambiaso and Jonathan providing the goals late on inside the final 20 minutes or so to give Inter a 2-1 win in what was a very organised, very well-structured performance. Palacio and Alvarez as a front two looked excellent. Cambiaso was almost like going back 5-6 years with Cambiaso because he just looked so alive. And has looked so alive in the start of this season. You know, there were dips in his form last year, and he is such a key player in the heart of that midfield in terms of being a leader, obviously the captain for Inter, being a leader, being that talisman at the moment for this side that doesn't have many players that people really kind of look at and think that's, yeah, an Inter legend, if you will. Cambiaso is that man at the moment. And Cambiaso obviously providing a big performance in the heart of the pitch, especially when you've got to deal with Ambrosini, Aquilani, Fernandez, Joaquim in that midfield for Fiorentina. They needed a big performance from their central midfield, Argentinian, and Cambiaso thoroughly providing that, was an absolute ball winner. Obviously grabbed an all-important equaliser for his side as well. It just shows that he is very much a man that can do pretty much anything he wants in the heart of a midfield in Serie A. So Inter making their big statement. Do you genuinely think that Inter, though, can continue to push on and stick with the big boys in Serie A? I'm still unsure about this Inter side. Maybe that's some bias coming in from, of course, my love for the Rossoneri. But this is also a part of me that just believes that it's going to be difficult for them. There's not that depth in their squad. With, you think about who can come on off their bench last night and make a huge impact. Of course, Milito can. But aside from that, Rolando possibly, but there's nobody that I can think that will come on and really galvanise a side, grab it by the scruff of its neck. I think it's very much relying on the starters, this Inter team at the moment. And arguably, you can say the same thing with Fiorentina, or they can bring on Ilic, as we saw last night. Icardi and Pereira for Inter as well, because they came off the bench last night too. But I don't think they have a team that is able to go against someone like Juventus in an all-important game when both sides need a win and really match them stroke for stroke, especially in terms of depth. I think Juventus have far more game changers on the bench, and that's something Antonio Conte has done, keeping a very tight ship but keeping it very well organised and very content in Turin. Juve, the old lady of Italian football, actually, they have a very big game as well. It's home pride on the line for Antonio Conte and his team as they get set to take on Torino, the Battle of Turin. Wonder if the old lady will stumble once again. Hasn't been an ideal start for Juventus this season, although unbeaten, just a one draw. Haven't looked as dominant as last season. That draw, of course, coming against Inter on the third game of the season. Roma, though, the only perfect side. How long will that continue? And how long are we going to see Roma? I don't want to say continuing to ditch him, but there is somebody missing from this Roma midfield who I've not seen enough of over the last few weeks or so. Michael Bradley obviously picked up his injury for the US men's national team. Just minutes before that Costa Rica game away from home. But I'm us here at Watford, I'm a big fan of Michael Bradley. And the sooner Roma can get him back, the better, because I think he does just provide that little bit of reassurance in the heart of the midfield. It looked maybe a little scrappier in that position that we were talking about with Cambiasso, actually. It's looked a little scrappier in that midfield role when Bradley hasn't been in there. We'll get into these. Well, we'll give you a rundown of the Serie A games coming up this weekend a little later on. But I'm delighted to say, joining me now on the show today is the main man, Rafa G. And I'm not going to lie, it is a sleepy Friday, I like to call it today. Not because of a lack of urgency with the show, not because there's a lack of stories to discuss, and not because there is a lack of football at all. But maybe, and I don't believe I said this, and I'm glad that Raf is joining me now to probably slap me down the line, but maybe there's too much football? I don't know.
I can see where you're getting that juice. I myself, you know, like I kind of was having trouble keeping up with all of it. I there was just so much coming. And then, you know, all the stories that you read, it's like even the media kind of gets just very thin and scraping the top of a lot of things and missing a lot of things. And when the coverage isn't good, then it's like, man, you know, I would just rather prefer a couple good Champions League, you know, matches.
No more Champions League, please, man. No. I did CONCACAF Champions League last night, about 3 o'clock in the morning UK time, which is why it's been a bit of a run day today. You know what? Okay, this is really annoying because
you're looking a little delirious. You're looking a little delirious.
You know, like the heads, you know when you're looking at like your notes and you're not really making any sense out of them now. They looked good earlier. They really looked good earlier. They were great notes about, you know, 7 hours ago. No, I was doing CONCACAF Champions League last night. The really okay. So let me describe the kind of, because this the football commentary work that I do on these, like,
Juice is about to let go, like Victoria Pilsen of Panama. Just got beat by, you know, 6-0 by the Calos, the Cholos. How do you say that name?
I tell you what, it gets tougher. It does get tough at very late night. That's for sure. No, I decided to do like a, because I did the Copa Sudamericana on Thursday night, Wednesday night, Thursday morning. So Thursday night, Friday morning, a few hours ago, I was doing the CONCACAF Champions League, and basically, I go down. Obviously, they're not going to fly me out to Costa Rica. Very disappointed by that. I thought that was going to be part of the deal, but no, they don't fly me out to Costa Rica. So I do it from here in the UK. You're watching a screen, and you kind of, you know, you're doing all the stuff where they like say, "Oh, it's a beautiful evening here in Costa Rica." So so you're not saying that you're there, but you're not saying that you're not there either. You know, it's that kind of cheesy thing. So
you can't.
Yeah, so it gives the illusion that you're there, but then when something happens and the
really
cameras,
lying.
Well, when the cameras don't pick up something, when the cameras don't pick up something, it's really bad. So, like, for instance, there'll be a substitution and no graphics will come up and the camera won't show you who's come off. And you're like, well, that's, you know, Garcia coming in and he's replaced. And you're kind of counting around to try and find the numbers and see who's ended up coming off the pitch in the last 30 seconds or so. And then later on, you do it. And confirmation there of Garcia coming in to replace Rodriguez and stuff. But anyway, so...
How does your boss... Like, how are you, I guess, quality controlled? Who's listening? And how do you get feedback? Is somebody listening in from
We do have emails and stuff come in with people giving kind of feedback. Either there was one guy that emailed in and said when he was watching the Dutch league stuff on through our sites, mm-hmm. that he hated the fact that people would read out the scores from the games elsewhere because he didn't want to know them, so he could watch the highlights package and not know all the other scores from around the league whilst watching the highlights package, which is fair enough. You know, I hate when I'm watching a game and you've tried to desperately avoid the result of another game. Mm. So, like, for instance, when you're watching college football and you know you want to watch, say, Texas against LSU, but at the moment you're watching the Gamecocks against Bama, but you're trying to avoid the Texas LSU score whilst that game's going on so that you can watch Texas LSU kind of afresh without knowing what happens. And then somebody cuts in, "Oh, game break time here. Let's go to New York and see what's happening." And you're like, "No, stop. Stop that. I don't want to know the score. I want to be able to watch that afresh like it's a brand new game rather than know." And so and he was just basically saying that he didn't like that. So we do have kind of email feedback. You know, my bosses kind of listen to the odd game of ours as well to make sure that our kind of quality commentary is upheld to a high standard. You know, it's that we do get kept in check, Raph. We do get kept in check. Don't you worry about my performances slipping, that's for sure.
But
I'm in a you're in a small booth, okay? It's like being in detention in the UK, kind of. You're in a room and there's a small kind of booth, fake walls and stuff, like false walls.
Whoa. You're gonna have to also elaborate on detention in the UK.
Okay, you know, like,
detention. Hold on, here. Let me give you a generic detention hall in the US, because I've been there a couple times. I've experienced it. Okay, detention is generally a room after school where you have to sit there and wait. Just, you know, either do homework or nothing at all.
We've all seen The Breakfast Club. We know what detention is.
Okay, all right. Well, all right. Then, so you understand where are the American detentions coming from? Yeah. What's this English detention?
Well, English, my school.
Is it a punishment room?
My school, there were two levels of detention, okay.
Oh.
So you had your Friday detention, which was an hour after school on a Friday. That basically meant that you sat in a normal classroom and either you did work that had been allocated for your detention period or you did your homework. And I actually used to really like getting Friday detention. I only had like five in my whole school career. So, you know, and it wasn't doing the, oh, I want another, like that idiot in Breakfast Club. So you sit there and if you got given if you didn't get given any work to do in the detention, as I say, you just did your homework, which was really good because I never would normally do my homework on a Friday. You know, I'd leave it till like a Sunday or whatever. So if I got Friday detention, I'd actually get most of my homework done. And you'd be amazed that when you've got nothing else to do, when you're not allowed to talk and you just, you're told just get on with your homework, how quickly you can get your homework done. You know, it does sometimes, most of the time, only take like an hour and 15 minutes to get it done. So you have most of it done by the Friday night. You get home at like half five. And then you'd be straight out off and off to go to a house party or something for the Friday night. I mean, that was like school days. Yeah, that was pretty sweet. But I did get I'm not proud of myself for this. I got in a scrap at school.
Oh God!
And I got what was called a Saturday detention because the school I went to had a kind of a boarding schoolhouse as well for like optional boarders. I didn't board, you know, my parents loved me. They didn't throw me out of the house. But, yeah, so, and you'd have to go up to the boarding school on a Saturday morning and sit there and do work. And basically that was kind of sat in a big room where all the boarders would do their homework on a Friday night. And you'd do yours there on a Saturday for like 3 hours. You just sit there either doing nothing or doing work or whatever. And it was like, it really was annoying because that was your Saturday morning kind of taken up and you had to wear school uniform there and all that kind of stuff. And my school insisted on like blazer and tie and all that sort of thing as a uniform. And yeah, it was just an annoyance. It was like being at school again for another morning on a Saturday, which was just cruel and unusual punishment. So, but it's kind of like that. So it's a room and there's lots of like almost office type cubicles, you know, small cubicles, but they're not even that like big at all. You know, you've got a very small desk in it and that sort of thing. So the room I do commentary in is kind of like that. You go into it, it's a long, thin room, and all down the sides, it's just split up into small cubicles. And there was only three of us in there last night. One I was doing a Copa Sudamericana game, and then me and somebody else who's actually does commentary for MUTV on occasion. Me and him were doing the CONCACAF Champions League games last night. Now, the game I was watching, Alajuelense taking on Sporty San Manatim. Sorry, I struggled. Miguelito, that's the one. Sporting San Miguelito. It was poor, you know. It was pretty poor. San Miguelito in their first ever CONCACAF Champions League. They won their first ever title in the Clausura season last year in Panama. Costa Rican side, Alajuelense. You know, they're staple CONCACAF Champions League qualifiers, but mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to trip the lights. Fantastic. Although they do have a chance if they get a draw against Club America in Mexico in their final group game to actually knock Club America out and go into the knockout stages for the first time. But it was a poor game. It was 0-0 at half time. Meanwhile, all I can hear coming from the cubicle next to me is, and it's another goal, because obviously this guy was doing Cholos against Victoria. So he gets a 6-0 absolute battering from Club Tijuana while I'm there just
a hat trick from American Hercules Gomez coming back off of his first game from like major like knee injury. So well done to Hercules Gomez, man.
So doesn't that
put a little kink in the wheel for Mr. Jurgen Klinsmann and the U.S. men's national team?
Well, isn't that great for the U.S. men's national team? Isn't that great for the guy that was commentating on it? I was sat there praying for a shot on target for the first hour in my game. This guy's got six goals. He's got, you know, crossbars being struck. He's got a Tijuana just taking the game to Victoria completely. And, you know, and to do that at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's hard enough to stay awake at the best of time. When you're trying to stay awake watching a game that you would fall asleep if it was on a Saturday afternoon, let alone late night on a Thursday, made it very difficult indeed, which is why I am, and this is a very long story indeed, Raph, but it's why I am slightly run down today, because not only was I watching football till very late last night, but I was watching a terrible game of football.
Until not like you have like a nice rush to come off of, you know, and enjoy and take into the next day. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. You should have got the Cholo Carlos match, man. I'm sorry. You should have you should have figured out a way to maneuver that one.
I was just bitter, just very bitter about the fact that the guy next to me had the Cholos game and had, you know, pretty sweet deal and got to see.
Before you get too lost, man, I do have an email in from somebody. I don't know who it is. It is Aaron. He's he says the subject line, Lambert to be sacrificed next. And he says, hey, Juice, first off, I'm a villain fan, so let Jeff and Philly know he's not the only WFT listener who supports the villains. My real question is, how long do you think we have on Paul Lambert as at the helm? I really like the guy, and I think he's done well at the job, but not seeing results makes it tough to keep backing him. Plus, putting into context that managers nowadays have minimal lifespan, how long can I expect to keep Lambert? Aaron in Glendale. I wonder if that's Glendale, California, or Glendale, Arizona.
Well, Aaron, either in Glendale, California, or Arizona, one or the other. Maybe there's another Glendale ref that you just don't know about.
That's true.
Glendale, Saskatchewan, Aaron. Wait, where's Saskatchewan? That's Arizona, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure that's Canada.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's one
of
those.
Don't worry. We're going to let that slide today.
It could be Glendale, Canada. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Ref? You don't know. It could be Glendale in the United Kingdom, for all you know. No, Aaron, I still think there's a lot of time with Lambert. He was brought in to reduce the wage budget, to reduce the club's expenditure in general on players, and to keep them in the Premier League. And he did that last year, and he built a very young team. The trouble is now is that he's had a very, very difficult start to the season. You know, Lambert said he was delighted to have 3 points from those first three games. He then unfortunately met a Newcastle side on a day when Newcastle actually played to their ability, which just never happens and is real hard luck on Lambert. It's not the greatest Aston Villa side still. But remember, they do have 2 wins from their first 5 games. They have won away. They have finally kept a clean sheet in 26 games. They have a fantastic keeper and still, from my mind, the best US keeper in the Premier League, Brad Guzan, in between the posts. They struggle with this, with their back four. I really think they do. And that will be Lambert's downfall. But the midfield is coming on very nicely. The attacking lineup, once Benteke's out for 6 weeks, but they've got Libor Kosak, who is, of course, a great buy. We know what he did last year for Lazio in the Europa League. So I do think that Lambert is going to be able to keep this Villa side comfortably safe this season. It won't be a nail-biting relegation battle like last year, I don't think. And I do firmly believe that Lambert can have a prosperous future. Future at Aston Villa.
I'm impressed.
Not prosperous in the kind of a winning trophies kind of prosperous, but prosperous as in lasting more than, you know, 2 years at the club.
So when's their next win? Because they're not getting it this weekend.
You don't think it's going to come against City? I mean, in all seriousness, though, for Villa, that is one of the toughest first 6 games that you could be given. You know, Newcastle aren't a great side, but can when they are firing on all cylinders and people are playing well. Villa were poor against them, against Newcastle as well, but still they can produce good football. You know, the Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, and Manchester City, 4 top 6 teams in the first 6 games. I mean, that's like cruel and unusual punishment, isn't it? So
right.
And yeah, you're right, Raf. They ain't getting 3 points this weekend. As much as I'd like to, and if anybody who listens to the Birmingham radio station that I'll be doing commentary for tomorrow is listening, Villa will get something because I have to be kind of biased towards the Midland sides. But it's not going to happen. City will. I'm actually estimating Manchester City annihilation. But Aaron, I do think Lambert has plenty of time still at Aston Villa. I would give him. He's got at least another season after this one. I really do. And if he has them in mid-table, his job is safe. Absolutely safe. Villa fans need to understand where their club is right now. You know, they're a great historic club. They are a big club. But in modern-day football, Aston Villa don't have that money. They're not willing to spend that money. And because of that, they are guaranteed and destined to be a mid-table side at best. I'm sorry, Villa fans, to say that.
Lay it on them.
But it is not going to be. The only way you're getting in the Europa League is through a cup competition, and seeing as Tottenham absolutely battered you in midweek, it's probably not going to happen through the League Cup.
This is quality stuff, Juice. I mean, I hate to say,
I'm being real.
I would hate to wish utter exhaustion upon you at all times, but I mean, it produces a fantastic show, Juice. Look,
mate, I'm just being real today, right? I
just laying it on him.
I was having a footballing discussion for another website. I was invited on as a roundtable guest on another website yesterday, and I won't promote it or anything like that because obviously I don't want you guys getting your football views from somewhere else. It's World Football Daily, for crying out loud. But and I've done this a couple of times with these chaps, and they keep kind of saying, oh, you're too much of a football romantic. You know, I was saying Di Canio should have been allowed to stay on. We all should have wanted Di Canio to succeed, etc. And they're all kind of giving me kind of jip for it. So when I was on their show this week, I just was like, okay, to hell with it. You guys want me to be a realistic? Fine. Business footballs are business commodities. When Liverpool were talking about Luis Suarez, you know, destroying the brand, yeah, okay, Liverpool might be upset with him destroying the brand. We should be focusing about what happens on the pitch, but nowadays football clubs are businesses, and so Liverpool, the fact that they're so worried about Suarez destroying the brand just shows how depressing football is. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Like, it wasn't as aggressive and kind of as that, but you know, I was just like, you know, if you want realism, fine. I will remove any romanticism of football away from me. And they asked me about Tottenham and, you know, getting a result, and will people be kind of cheesed off with Tottenham at the moment? They've started the season slowly, haven't scored loads of goals, not been playing electric, fast-paced football. And I said, you know, no one cares as long as they get results. That's what everybody cares about. I'd love to see them play great football, but no one cares as long as they get the results. It doesn't matter at all. So they were just all shocked. They were like, wow, you as a kind of a non-football romantic is just really sad to see. It's like we broke a puppy, you know. Working with you guys for a few weeks and I'm crushed, but yeah, so I'm just being real today, you know. It's the same way. I'm not expecting an absolute thriller from Tottenham against Chelsea this weekend. Not expecting a thriller. What I'm expecting is two sides that aren't playing the most attractive football in the world right now, and Chelsea obviously aren't playing the best football that they can play either at the moment. They have problems in a few places on the pitch, especially with that lone front man of Mourinho's. And I'm expecting a 1-0 win for Tottenham. We'll talk about this more when we do IKTS. Talking about this game in general, actually, Raf, sorry to continue this tirade of a rant and abuse, but
this is fine. This is fine. I am completely earning my wages today. That's for sure.
Mourinho against AVB, Raf. Mourinho against AVB. There was always going to be talk about their previous kind of relationship, how it maybe fell apart, what happened with it, and I'm just not having this in any way, shape, or form. AVB came out and said that he wasn't going to lose any sleep over the kind of fracture in AVB and Mourinho's relationship. You know, they had a falling out at Inter. AVB said he wanted to be more involved with pre-game prep and with scouting, more heavily involved with Mourinho. And Mourinho kind of said, I don't really need an assistant and I don't really think you're ready for that yet. So AVB said, look, can you let me go? I want to leave then. I want to kind of grow my own wings and fly away. And that's what he did and was very successful in doing so, except at Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And they asked him about the relationship between him and Mourinho, and he said, you know, he's not going to lose any sleep. They're not best friends now, but they're not really they're not kind of enemies either. It's not like a bitter rivalry. And AVB did his usual playing things down. Now this got completely misconstrued and interpreted in the press as, you know, their relationship is fractured beyond repair. But AVB says he won't lose any sleep over Jose Mourinho, and it kind of makes it sound like a jilted lover type thing. And now, going into Chelsea's press conference, it's been mentioned to Mourinho that AVB said, oh, I'm not going to really lose sleep over it. You know, it doesn't affect me, in a very nonchalant way. And Mourinho's like, oh, that's what he said. Oh, well, I'm not a kid. If I have a problem with someone, I go upstairs, we speak, and we have lunch. And it's kind of supposedly come back with some cutting remark. And the press are just now completely stirring this Mourinho against AVB thing up. You know, it's like they want these two guys to walk out of the tunnel, walk up to each other before the game and slap each other and really have a go. You know, and I'm sure if there's any confrontation on the sideline, there's going to be an immediate story in the press come Sunday morning, Monday morning, talking about, oh, these two, you know, back at it again, fighting that like cats and dogs as the master took on his apprentice on the weekend and all this sort of thing. And it's I'm just tired of it. I'm really tired of it, especially surrounding Andre Villas-Boas. Mourinho brings a lot of it on himself, but AVB is a guy who has literally been put through the cleaners by the English press. And I've had enough of seeing this poor guy be just put up to and left to dry, if you will, by some of the written journalists in the UK, because all he's trying to do is get down, do a job well at Tottenham. That's all he wanted to do at Chelsea as well. You know, he had to deal with that bloody dressing room, which was really unfortunate. And as soon as he went to Tottenham, the press kind of tried to re-stir up that sort of fractured dressing room idea in the papers with the Hugo Lloris, Brad Friedel, keeping Friedel in goal for the first few weeks of the season. It was like, Lloris wants to play, but AVB says no. Is he losing the dressing room? It's like, no, he's not. Not in any way, shape or form. Oh, he came in with a big dossier and the players don't understand it. And I was at that press conference. I remember saying on World Football Daily last year that they asked him about this dossier. He said, I don't use dossiers. And then carried on reeling off about how it could be difficult and all this sort of thing, but my methods aren't too difficult to understand. And the headline was, AVB says that dossiers aren't too difficult to understand. When he actually said, his opening line was, I don't do these sorts of dossier things. I don't know where this is coming from. So I just feel, I'm so tired. I only care with this Tottenham-Chelsea game about what happens on the pitch this weekend. I really do. I couldn't give a flying monkeys about AVB and Jose Mourinho, because to me, it's never going to be what the press make it out to be. It's never going to be a war. It's never going to be an absolute battle. And if I'm wrong, I'll put my hands up and say I'm wrong. If they end up tearing each other's hair out on the sideline, that would just be embarrassing for everybody. But these two guys are both very professional. Mourinho, maybe to a lesser extent when he's talking to the press, but they're very professional managers. They know how to get jobs done and they know how to win tournaments. And I think we should just let them get involved in doing that rather than trying to kind of stir up this childish relationship that in the press of these two kind of bickering like squabbling kids in the playground, right?
I'm sorry, man. That was well done again. I wish I could comment on that, but I think we're running out of time, and we should probably do a little bit of IKTS. How about that?
Yeah.
A little more English football, which I'm sure you're just absolutely amped on. It sounds like you've been being force fed the Premier League kind of media BS by the shovelful.
Well, this is just having a look at the headlines today in the press and whatnot, and you wake up, you're pretty tired, and you're susceptible to get angry easily when you're tired. And damn, did I get angry today when I saw this? No, we will move into a little bit of I Know the Score, and we will start with the big game this weekend, Tottenham. Well, it's our first game of the weekend. We're going to go chronologically.
I know. What do you think about that? Having it at noon and stuff over there, is that nice?
I'd rather it was the late game. I'd rather it was Monday night football, to be honest, as well. I think that was something that took the edge off the Rome derby last week, having it in the middle of the day. Yeah, where's the fun in that? I want to see the flares flying. I want to see the flags, the banners under the floodlights. It always looks so much better. And you always get a bit more of a heated atmosphere as well. Monday night football in the UK, in the Premier League, used to be the night where you were guaranteed to see a few red cards. Like, it was just a given. Because players kind of suddenly, they went crazy like a moth when they saw those floodlights. It was like, oh, snap. I remember the first time I got, like, Sky Television. And the first few Monday night games were, like, Liverpool-Arsenal and Leeds-Arsenal. And both of them turned into fights pretty much, and it was just fantastic to watch. And this was the Arsenal side that had a few boys that could really kick themselves out in a fight. You still had Keown in there, you still had Vieira in there as well, Petit, who wouldn't shy away from a bit of controversy in the center of the park, and on the other hand, you had the likes of Danny Murphy, Gerrard and all that lot, Boya at Leeds, Batty as well. It was just aggressive, feisty football, fast-paced under the lights on Monday nights, and that's what we do miss, I think, here in England with the 3 o'clock games. But at the same time, you've got to respect the 3 o'clock kickoff, ref. That's the traditional home of English football, Saturday, 3 o'clock. 12:45 then, the slightly less traditional time, is Tottenham against Chelsea, the first game of the weekend. How are you seeing it, Raf? I'm going with that 1-0 win for Spurs.
I think it's going to be a 1-0 win to Chelsea, and that's only because, Jose needs to get a result sometime soon, and he needs a big result. This is a big result that he can grab. Boring 1-0.
Is he going to be as tetchy as he was at Old Trafford, do you think? Going away from home again to White Hart Lane?
Probably not. I'm ideally, and this is my little kind of football romanticism going on here, because I have got plenty of sleep last night.
Well, someone's got to be someone's got to be romantic here, ref, because it ain't me today, that's for sure. It's a good job I don't have a girlfriend, man, because there would be no romance today, that's for sure.
I think that he's going to kind of let it go, man. Let it be free, because he wants to kind of prove a point against ABB. And I'm buying into this media bullshit, man.
Oh, he's getting stirred up. It's not for football romance. That's just getting stirred up by the tabloids. Let's move into a game that you've already made your prediction of who's going to win it. Aston Villa take on Manchester City, the first of the 3 o'clock games on Saturday. The villains with that difficult start to the season, City just roaring past Manchester United in the big derby last weekend. Do they continue? I assume you're going to say yes here, Raf.
I do think they are going to continue. There is going to be a valiant little goal from Aston Villa somewhere.
I've got them scoring as well, yeah.
Yeah, no, but ultimately it's going to be 3-1 to the citizens. And they kind of cruise.
Once again, Rafa copying off my exam sheet. 3-1 to Manchester City. Fulham, Cardiff. Fulham, Martignol admitting that Bent and Berbatov are just the only options he has up front, and it's difficult for both of them to be scoring and firing on all cylinders. Fulham do have problems. So I spoke to one Fulham fan this week who was saying that he really felt that losing Danny Murphy was a much bigger loss than Fulham anticipated. But not only that, but the statue has been removed this week as well. Michael Jackson gone from Craven Cottage.
That's where it's really...
That's the saddest departure of the season, isn't it? You know,
it's like the 12th man just missing.
I want Alfire to put it like it is living room. Oh, that'd be brilliant. I think that'd be fantastic. But Fulham take on Cardiff, the Premier League new boys down at Craven Cottage. I'm going 1-0 Fulham.
I'm copying you, 1-0 Fulham. And it's only because Cardiff are that bad.
I've been impressed by Cardiff, mate. I have been impressed. I think all the newly promoted sides have actually looked very organised. You know, on the first day of the season, I was told that Cardiff's performance against West Ham was one of the worst that one of my friends had seen in a Premier League game. And I thought that's going to be the writing on the wall for them. But they've all shown, Palace, Hull and Cardiff have all shown organisation and a mental maturity to deal with Premier League football. I think it's going to be close for these relegation places, that's for sure. Talking of Premier League new boys, Hull City at home. They take on West Ham United. The Hammers on the road, of course. Possibly going to get Colton Cole once he proves his fitness to Sam Allardyce. No Andy Carroll for this game still. He's out for a big chunk of the season. What's happening with the Hammers? 1-1, Raf.
Damn you. Well, since you're saying 1-1, then, I'm going to say West Ham come away with another away victory. And this is the weekend for away victories in the Rafa table of IKTS.
Well, I tell you what,
I'm going to say 1-0.
There's not...
Come on, you Hammers.
There's no road victory in this next one, that's for sure. Manchester United at Old Trafford taking on West Bromwich Albion, the win against Liverpool in midweek. Did you see the video footage of the flare being thrown as well at Old Trafford?
I did not, no.
Liverpool fans throwing a flare from the top of one of the stands down onto Manchester United fans. There's been a bit of uproar about that in the press as well today. I still don't know where I stand with flares and stuff, because I think they'd make a football game look absolutely fantastic. But if you're throwing them at opposing supporters and stuff like that, that's not very cool.
It gets a bit dangerous pretty quickly.
I can't imagine it being as heated between these two sides, though. United taking on the Baggies. I've got a 3-0 win, Manchester United. A big clean sheet for them. And, of course, a big, big 3-0 win. And Hernandez to start. Damn it.
Well, that would be great, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be a 2-0 win. And it's only because they're going to kind of coast through this. I think that they'll be expected to win big, but it's not going to happen. So 2-0 win, comfortable, clean, United get away with all 3 points again.
Southampton, they had a fantastic win last weekend against Liverpool, maybe upsetting the odds slightly. They take on Crystal Palace. Ian Holloway's boys going down south, down the M3 to Southampton. 2-0 win for the home side. The Saints looking good this season. I thought they were going to struggle maybe with bringing in too many players, but they've bought very, very well with Wanyama and co at Southampton.
I always think of the best strip club name in Crystal Palace now. But it's going to be a 1-0 win to Southampton, and it's only because these two teams aren't impressive to me. They're not going to do much.
I'm not seeing these away wins, Raf, that you're talking about. Then.
It was the first three.
All right, okay. True.
Minus Cardiff.
Minus Cardiff. All right, and surely the next one coming up as well, Swansea against Arsenal. This is probably going to be the best-looking game of football that you'll see this weekend.
I got this 2-1 to the Arsenal, and this is another away victory, primarily because I just feel like Swansea might be reeling a bit. They might be prepped and ready for this weekend, but the way that they exited the League Cup is just kind of embarrassing, and it's going to kind of keep, you know, snowball on into the weekend.
Yeah.
2-1 to the Gunners, who are on a roll.
I got Arsenal to win this. You know, they're playing fantastic football at the moment. Sure, they're without Oxlade-Chamberlain, they're without Theo Walcott, a number of other players missing, but they'll still have Flamini, Arteta, Wilshere, Ozil as well, of course, who could forget old Mesut. It's going to be fine and dandy for the Gunners. 2-1, I have that as well. Rafa, stop copying off my sheet. You can't have the same result as me on this one, surely. Stoke City against Norwich, the first game on Sunday. I've got it as a draw as well. I've got 0-0.
Oh, fuck you. I got 1-1. And that's just, I think, that, again, hopeful romantic coming out here. I'm just hoping that there's a goddamn goal in this game, because otherwise it's going to be terribly boring unless you're fans of these teams.
This next one you can put your money on in the bank. Cash it up. This is going to be an away win. Liverpool against Sunderland. Sunderland's still all over the place. Liverpool will be looking to bounce back from two straight losses in the League Cup and last weekend.
Yeah, I got
2-0 to the Scouse.
All right. Well, I mean...
you need to stop. Maybe it just shows how in tune we are after doing this show for, you know, kind of 15 months or whatever now.
Yeah, or you're potentially watching my sheet somehow. I don't know. But yes, I got this 2-0, and it's a plain to see banker. I mean, whenever you see times three on a game like this, it's pretty clear to see. I'm just going to come out and say I have Everton beating Newcastle 1-0 at home with Stevie Naismith getting the goal.
I've got Everton winning as well on Monday night, but 2-1. And you know who's going to be banging them in for Everton?
Who's that?
Big Romelu Lukaku, my man. I can't get enough of this kid. He's just the best thing in football to me. Really is. And I'm genuinely worried there might be a man crush coming on here because, you know, I just love the guy. You know, he's my captain in fantasy football this weekend. That's the IKTS scores predicted for this weekend. Raf, are you still on top of IKTS? I don't really check that anymore. IKTS is kind of last year's thing, I think, so I don't really... I don't really look at it anymore. It's not really my. It's not really my bag.
Well, you should check it out, man. Just because you're getting a bit embarrassing, that's all.
Is it actually getting embarrassing?
Oh. It's embarrassing. I mean, I am literally 45 points ahead of anybody else.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. No. This is unfair. Really. I mean, I kind of feel bad.
Because you're over 45 points behind me in fantasy football.
I know. I know. I'm trying not to bring up fantasy football. Look, Juice, I didn't bring up the 3-3 draw yesterday. Okay, now I'm.
There's no need to bring it up, Ref. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't watch Italian football, huh? What?
Right?
What?
Okay.
No, well, Serie A's rubbish, mate. It's really boring and defensive, and there's never any goals. It was probably all 0-0 draws or something. It was probably all really defensive in midweek.
Yeah. Well, on that note, sir, I appreciate fantasy football and. Perhaps, maybe, I'm just waiting for the right time to strike there, that's all.
I'm seriously getting worried about AC Milan against... that Bologna game was just cataclysmic to watch, really. Andrea Poli giving him the lead so early, and then Diego Laxite killing them. I mean, absolutely killing them. 3-1 down after an hour. And then Robinho and Abate decide to at least pop up, you know, a minute from time. Nothing like leaving it late. You know, Milan don't do anything easy, that's for sure. Did you catch any of the Inter-Fiorentina game yesterday, Raf? Was that on the...
No, I did not get to see that game. I'm sorry, Juice.
We are seeing Inter putting themselves down as real contenders. It was a real statement for them. Not only did they hang with Fiorentina, they suppressed them for the majority of the first half as well. Really held them, limited them to chances. And I do think that people are going to be mentioning this Inter side pretty quickly indeed in terms of Champions League and possibly even a title run. We'll have to see how Juventus do.
Strema what? Okay.
Let's bounce around the fixtures coming up for this weekend, and seeing as we are dabbling in Italian football at this moment in time, let us wash ourselves in the sea of Serie A fixtures that we have coming up this weekend. Genoa take on Napoli, AC Milan take on Sampdoria at the San Siro. Oh, don't let it get any worse, please. Torino against Juventus in the Battle of Turin, the two old rivals meeting once again, but surely it's going to be 3 points for the old lady. Sassuolo take on Lazio, who bounced back incredibly in midweek after their 7-0 drumming from Inter Milan on the weekend. Napoli held to a 1-1 draw at home against Sassuolo. Very well played by the Serie A new boys indeed. Verona take on Livorno. Atalanta take on Udinese. Cagliari take on the high-flying Inter. Catania take on Chievo. And Roma, the only team with a 100% record at the moment in Serie A, take on Bologna. A flying start, 5 from 5 for Roma. In Spain, of course, we have the Madrid derby. That's coming up on Saturday night, but there's other fixtures as well. Valladolid take on Malaga, Valencia, Real Vallecano, Almeria, Barcelona, Sociedad and Sevilla. It'll be a very entertaining game. And then on Sunday, Osasuna, Levante, Celta Vigo, Elche, Espanyol, Getafe and Real Betis, Villarreal. In the Bundesliga, Augsburg take on Gladbach tonight. Munich meet Wolfsburg. Leverkusen meet Hannover. Hoffenheim meet Schalke, Hertha Berlin take on Mainz, Dortmund take on Freiburg. Freiburg, remember, got that draw against Bayern Munich before the Super Cup. Can they do it again against Dortmund? Eintracht Frankfurt take on Hamburg on Saturday evening, and then Bremen take on Nuremberg, and Braunschweig take on Stuttgart on Sunday. And Liga, once again, after a midweek set of fixtures that saw PSG and Monaco grab more 3 points, and Marseille beat Saint-Etienne 2-1. Lorient take on Marseille tomorrow. PSG meet Toulouse. Saint-Etienne take on Bastia. Sochaux take on Valenciennes. Lyon take on Lille. Nice take on Guingamp. Evian take on Bordeaux. And then on Sunday, Rennes take on Nantes. Ajaccio meet Montpellier. And Remy meet Monaco in your European fixtures for the weekend. Raf, we've got to shoot, man. We've got to bust out and get ready to roll. But fantastic week here on World Football Daily, I have to say. Always enjoy these long weeks with plenty of football to talk about. I know I said there's too much football when you came on, but really, we can't ever get enough of it. And we will leave it on that high note. A big thanks to all our guests this week. A big, very big thanks to you guys for getting in contact and chatting with us. Juve J, by the way, you were mentioning that people were calling for Di Canio to come to Hillsborough. I've been barking that tune for a very, very long time. Let's hope that Paolo Di Canio makes his way to Sheffield Wednesday to become their new manager and get us out of a very difficult spot in the Championship. So much football coming up this weekend. We'll be talking about as much of it as we can next week. And of course, Raf, there's Champions League next week as well. So much coming our way. It just doesn't stop, and neither do we. Take care. Have a cracking weekend. Show at worldfootballdaily.com and at WFootballDaily, where you can find us over the weekend. We'll be back on the same time of month. Have a good one.
Oh,